Welcome to the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs, bringing you from 0 to 60 in the non-fungible token world without breaking the bank, with your hosts Andrew, aka Rantom, and George from Mostly Stable on Zedrun, who will help you navigate new projects, interview expert guests, and explore NFT trends. So whether you're on your first or 50th NFT, we're going to have something for you. And as a quick note, we are not, I repeat, not financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Alrighty, disclaimer over, let's get to it. Today on All About Affordable NFTs, we're talking about nice NFT game, but is it fun? And teasing out that theme, Andrew, first off, news, what are you seeing?
Yeah, what do we got going on? Look, I've actually, well, wanted to mention one thing I've been watching is a Sotheby's auction. Didn't put this in our notes, but there's another crypto Sotheby's auction going on. This one is a little different than others in that the pieces don't exist yet. It's for 10 options to mint a squiggle. There are still...
Oh, God.
There's still something like 800 squiggles left in the collection. They mint them off occasionally to new people that work for Art Blocks or to just people that have contributed to the project, and they have a weekly raffle. But so they're giving 10 of these spots away in a round, not giving them away. They're auctioning them off here. So rather, you don't know which ones you're getting. There's a potential for some very rare squiggles in there, and it does seem to have the attention of some big collectors, including Adam Lindemann, who, if you Google him, you'll see that he's an investor, and that he's sold his, like, he has homes in Montauk and other places. So other places, seems like he's that's what comes up when you just check his name. Very interesting that he's getting into this. So I think these things are good to start bringing other attention to some of these crypto art projects. It'll be fun to see the end of this thing and see what it actually goes for. Looks like there are some crypto people bidding on it as well. It's up to 200,000 right now, but I imagine it will go for quite a bit more than that.
And that's on Sotheby's, you said?
Yeah, that's on Sotheby's Metaverse.
I've known them
Sotheby's.
To do many NFTs.
So this is their Metaverse platform. It's metaverse.sotheby's.com. So they've done a couple things on here before, but not a whole lot. So it is one of their first. They have done a couple others, but you know, it still seems like it's big news when you've got these kind of traditional art players coming into the crypto world. One other thing that I found interesting about this is that there is a 25% buyer's premium that they charge, maybe 20% buyer's premium. So on top of whatever the price is that it lands, you know, the strike price, as they refer to it, you pay another premium, I guess, for their handling of the whole thing. Someone should really tell them that is done by a contract at this point, but
that's a lot of gas, Andrew. That is a lot.
Yes,
that's an expensive gas
fee.
Woo. Yeah, seriously.
I'll happily pay a couple of bucks gas to save 20% of my final straight there.
I really think it takes an impressive leap of pricing to claim that what you normally take for physical products and keeping them safe can be applied to digital. Bravo. But cool. Chromy Squiggle minted. 10 unminted Chromy Squiggles. Wow.
All right. What else have you seen, George? What have you been checking out in the news?
I saw this because I've been keeping an eye on major gaming platforms and how they're beginning to eye NFTs. And Ubisoft, which is the maker of Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which, like, look, if you don't know games, that's fine. But it's like one of the most played type of games on device, and they are going to be dropping in NFTs playable in the game, and they're dropping in for the PC versions of the Ubisoft Connect platform. And big picture, it's like it's a major game dabbling with NFTs. They've been getting a little bit of blowback from traditional players, I think, on Twitter, but it's coming. And those are the types of games, kind of getting into our theme, that I'm like, that is a game capital G that has players, has an amazing game engine, and like a unique proposition there.
I think a lot of the game companies were interested in getting into this, you know, back in kind of the ICO phase, and there was a lot of pushback, and it went away. And I think that's made some of the gaming companies somewhat hesitant to make another run at it. But I think it's, this time it's different. but I do think that the companies are taking a different approach for this, and it's going to be a very different approach than the sort of mechanics and crypto side first, and then a game. They're going to find a way to layer crypto into a well-functioning, very popular gaming platform.
Which is an important note. For instance, the Sandbox actually started as a land-based game with editable components, and it entered into the crypto space after already having gameplay and being like, all right, let's pivot to this. So, you know, there's certainly standards and a history for games making that shift, having your player base and then introducing NFTs, which is interesting. All right, Andrew, the Coinbase NFT platform watch. What is the latest?
Yeah, we're watching this. They've been kind of leaking some, I don't know. I wouldn't say they're leaking a whole lot of information out, but they have said a few or hinted at a few things, saying that they have got some new partner announcements on the way. Just opening up the link here. So what have you picked up from your research here?
I think they're getting the Coinbase NFT Twitter account going a bit more, teasing out to projects, saying like, hey, what are you looking to shill? What do you want us to promote? Who do you want to take a look at? So it's something that, frankly, a communications team wouldn't be riling folks up if there wasn't an announcement coming soon. So they're like seemingly taunting audiences to kind of come in. And, you know, as we mentioned before, coinbase.com/NFT/announce literally has a picture of a mooncat on it. Coming back to why we are bullish about the potential of this platform launching and why we are watching it.
Right. Yeah. It's very bullish on this. Very excited for it. And it does seem like there's more coming. I'm kind of expecting a lot more teasing of things the next weeks, months ahead before this actually launches.
All right. Affordable project time. You found this one, Andrew. So I'll throw it your way. Full disclosure. We are both at some level, me as of today, a buyer of this. Async Music. What is going on?
Yeah, I just got my first Async Music piece as well. Async is a really exciting platform for NFTs, in that it lets creators create multiple layers or versions of different components that all go together. So then the holder of that NFT could change the version that's kind of live on the master, or the live, I think they call it the master version. So that will then, in the case of visual pieces, you'll see different, maybe different colors or different elements included. But for the audio one, you can actually change different instruments, you can make changes to the track so that it actually changes the output, so the audio is different each time. So there's, I think, maybe four or five different aspects that can be changed. Somebody has one of those parts, or different people have one of those parts, and any time that one of those changes, the live output for everybody changes. So what Async, this project that we've looked at, there's a recording that you can make of these. So we're really going a few layers here. It's not the simplest project to describe, but anyway, you've got an audio, these audio layers that then will come together to make one audio track. That track can then be saved forever by burning it to an album. But you get a blank initially, then whenever you want the version that's live, you can go and mint that version. So those start at, I believe, 0.04. So we'll put that as our floor price. So they are affordable at this point. There's some, there are some artists that you may recognize on there. RAC is one that I recognize. Mike Shinoda, who's from Linkin Park, Connie Digital, been around crypto art for a long time. Rare Skrilla, Rare Skrilla does it's the audio on that. Have been around crypto for a very long time, or at least a long time in the crypto sense. So there's a lot of cool artists on there. There's visual parts that go with these. And yeah, like I said, that the minting starts at 0.04. You get the blank when you do that, and then you have to actually go and mint the version that you want. So I picked up a couple blanks and then I've minted one version and I want to mint a second one once that is updated at some point, just to play with this a little bit. I think it's an interesting project. I like async for other reasons as well, which we can get into. Have you taken a look at this, George?
I have, and I jumped into it because you sent it my way. And I know that the next, we're kind of like in this sort of metaverse hype right now. I think we've talked about play to earn games. We'll get to that. But music and music drops and how artists, musical artists, approach NFTs is still being defined and figured out. And I think this is an interesting project to understand. It has the potential of being a platform. It has pulled in artists. There's some clever stuff here, but it may be how future generations get albums dropped, where you get to play with it. You know, I'm thinking about the Black Album and how they sometimes like release, content that's meant to be, frankly, reused and pushed around. And this one we'll include in the link so you can go track it down. We're recommending that's the silver edition, I think, which is the 0.045. They say there are 27 unique song combinations with three music, drum, vocal, and state tracks. So you can like click, 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 adjust and be like, oh, I like this version of it. And then sort of, as you were saying, Andrew, remint it on top of your album that you have bought.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have made this so unconfusing. There's no way.
It took me a bit to figure it out. It's not as confusing as we're making it sound, I think. But you know, that's assuming cool. That you know how to get on the Async platform and all. I think the Async has some cool projects going on right now. They just introduced a project, or three different big projects with some big artists that we've talked about before. Coldy, Xcopy, and A Lot of Money all have some projects going on. I think they're all over 600 pieces, which are pretty large for Async. I think before this, the largest I had seen was maybe about 50 pieces. So those are pretty big pieces, which I think will be fun for people to be able to play around with this technology so that you can actually change the version and have a lot of people interacting with it. I do think there's the fact that they have those three artists with a lot of people coming in makes me think there may potentially be more coming from Async. It's one that they do not have a token. I don't know that they will introduce one, but I wouldn't, it doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility. So, you know, having an Async piece may not be the worst idea. If they do introduce a token, I'm sure they'll take a snapshot at some point of holders.
Yeah, the old airdrop token that sometimes can really produce value for platforms that are growing. And you seem to just have an antenna for this stuff. So when I saw that note coming in Discord and the 3A Discord, I was like, yep, done for that price and a potential token. Done, done, done.
Yep, that's the thesis on that one. There's a couple good potential catalysts that could provide value there.
Awesome. And again, that link can be found at 3anft.com. Find this episode number 37 to go track that one down. All right, today's theme discussion: nice game, but is it fun? So, Andrew, here's the premise. I see a lot of games put into the roadmap of NFT projects. I see a lot of and play some of these NFT games, and many of them are like, 16-bit arcade style, like wouldn't even pass as like kind of fun for mobile, but they're just doing it to prove you can do it sort of and play with NFTs.
And while that may be interesting, like, take a step back. People play games because they're fun, because they release dopamine, because they are engaging for a period of time, not just, hey, cool, you can make this little icon jump over a, you know, moving background. Like, I'm sorry, but like, the days of Atari are past. And so I'm a little skeptical. I'm a little concerned sometimes by the net value proposition of a game that is essentially an Atari, when I know that there are, tracking back, types of Ubisoft big ticket games out there. What is your thought on this?
Oh man, I think there's a couple aspects here. You know, one is that we're trying to play with some new technology, and people are being a little bit more lenient on what is impressive, because there's other technical challenges that we know exist. We're kind of letting a lot of things go, I think, and saying that this is the best for now, and this is suitable for now. And I think there's expectation that it will get better. You know, the other side of this is, I think that it doesn't, you know, gaming has a lot of aspects to it, and we're seeing, and we're, I think, recognizing a lot more that it's not being the most, having the best graphics or the best visual isn't necessary, I guess, to be extremely popular. I mean, we've already seen this in the case of mobile games. You know, many mobile games don't have the best graphics, and they are quite addicting. It doesn't mean that they are the most entertaining games to play. I mean, I guess it depends how you want to define entertaining, but, you know, right now people are playing them. They are clicking, and they do see, you know, they do see different numbers, and they see it changing when they do these things, and there's financial value. So I think there's, you know, that right now is enough to get people's attention. You know, I think that being said, there's still a lot of room to go. Imagine if we can get to a place where you've got a game like just a big MMO game like World of Warcraft or something that people are spending a lot of time playing, hours and hours and hours playing. And if they could actually do that, just, and that's people that just wanted to play the game for no other reason, but if they could do that and have some sort of financial reward, I mean, that's, I think, what we're looking for. You know, I don't know if, you know, I guess we haven't seen it yet. I mean, I think we've seen some versions where it's more of a combination of gaming and financial rewards, but I don't think that we've gotten even close to you know, the level of what, you know, Ubisoft would do, and I think probably plans to do with their crypto integrations.
Yeah, with like Blizzard Entertainment, when you talk about these like mega games that come out, I think it's an important note just to attack my own theme there that you pointed out is like, maybe I'm throwing too much shade on like the graphics as opposed to the gameplay. For instance, I happen to know that many people enjoy gambling and going to a casino. Let's just be honest. The interface of a freaking jackpot, pull the slot, you know, machine has not changed in decades. You still see people doing it. So there are ways of employing that. And I think that kind of points to Wolfgame recently using that gambling dynamic and saying like, oh, if I have sheep, it'll produce sheep, it'll produce wool. However, there is a 25% chance, there's an X percent chance that a wolf will steal my sheep when I move it, so I can't move it. And then you get to play with this game dynamic, and gambling is a form of game and introduces a lot of potential for that dopamine rush, entertainment value, right? As you pointed out, the inherent value in playing the game, absent of financial reward, however, enhanced by the chance of win, chance of loss.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not, you know, there are so many different aspects that go into the game, and it, you know, it makes me think of, you've been into Pegaxie. That has, I think I'm saying that right, but that has some pretty impressive graphics, and it's got a lot of the sort of Zed racing and gambling layers as well. And it does seem, not that Zed, I wouldn't say that the graphics are lacking in the game, but Pegaxie does seem to be kind of kicking that up to a different level, and also making making some other changes to the actual gameplay that maybe have been overlooked by Zed.
Yeah, I have been getting to Pegaxia. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about it in our next episode in case you need a reason to listen to the next one. But I'm looking for games that have the following, right? The elements that will the game be fun to play? Is it, tapping into gambling, a type of gameplay that's unique or similar to one that I know has got fun, addicting type of interactions associated with it? Does it have a game mechanic and maybe even tokenomics to it that is going to generate and scale well? As much as I love Zed, I think its effective economy didn't lend well to scaling because of the way that microeconomy was tied together. And so when you look at a game like Pegaxie, they have kind of combined elements of Axie Infinity and Zed together, but their goal is actually to make a playable, like, actual player control. They're said they're inspired by like Mario Kart, like type of game out of it. Like, I don't know if it's possible, but we're looking at something that may change. We've mentioned also the Blood Portals and the Red Village as a game we're watching. We bought this thing and talked about it without seeing gameplay, but we see the characters, we see the style, we see the team, we know where it's going. It's not going to be a 16-bit, Atari jump over the fence and avoid the lava. They're going to be throwing some muscle behind it. And those are the kind of elements when I look for in a game. And I just, to come back to the asterisk, the thing I want to put in the back of your mind as you shop products, shop roadmaps, and look at it is, will the game be fun? Is the game fun? Or is it?
Yeah, I think that's important.
Is it a game or a gimmick?
Yeah, the game, exactly. The gimmick is going to be, a week long obsession and then a drastic fall off. A game, I think, is going to create people that want to get their friends into it. Like you've been dragging me into to Zed, and now you've got me looking at Pegaxie. And there is a big difference there, though, and I think that's important to look at. One thing that comes to mind when I'm thinking about these things, and we haven't going back to the idea that we haven't necessarily seen a perfect melding of gaming and the financial sort of rewarding players. And, it does make me think, how much are those sort of in juxtaposition? Are they, is it going to be hard to do this because when you introduce financial rewards, it sort of takes some of the fun gameplay aspect out of it. And you're set on, on really maximizing financial rewards versus just playing a game. It's something that I've thought about, and I think it's going to be tough to, I don't know that we know the answer at this point. It's going to be tough to navigate that, I would think.
You look at Axie Infinity and Smooth Love Potion, the elements that you definitely need are a secondary token controlled by the ecosystem. There doesn't seem to be a way around it. You need that middle layer to be able to deploy that. Am I going to claim that like a family in the Philippines that is playing that game, like 7 hours a day is having fun? No, you're right. When you introduce money, you inherently maybe lose some of the fun. I do believe somebody's having fun playing that game. It's a card-based, turn-based round. You kind of have some strategy involved. I play very basic strategy games all the time. It kind of, gets me curious, gets me interested. So I think you can kind of have it both ways. But your other point here is when is that World of Warcraft? And, you look at Star Atlas's promises. They haven't launched anything, mind you. But Star Atlas's promises of this, like, massive universe.
Yes.
Ships, planets, moving around, interacting, mixing it up. Like, this ultimate immersive game will come. I don't know who it will be.
No, I don't know either. They have, Star Atlas does have a lot planned. It's ambitious. There's a lot of projects that I think are trying to grow into that. I think, they're at least being upfront and saying that they want to do all of that. Whereas others, I think, are trying to get there. You see different projects working on all sorts of different aspects of this. And I think we're going to see different paths start to emerge. I would hope that some collaborative efforts start to really emerge here, and it's not just a constant battle of of trying to bring everything into a new, unique world that isn't really integrating with anything else that already exists. You know, we've really got to find a way for this metaverse to come together, or else it's just going to be a lot of dead ends, I think.
Yeah, the interoperability question is very real. I included in the show notes, just to put a final maybe point on this, of kind of what we're talking about, of the top games in 2021, the most popular video games of 2021, things like Call of Duty, NBA 2K, Madden 20, Borderlands, Mortal Kombat, Jedi, which is a RPG kind of playing game, Super Smash Brothers, Minecraft, Roblox. So Fortnite, another big one. Those are games that are attracting people. Hundreds of millions of active users are attracting people without the financial reward. I think when you throw a financial reward and the ability to say, hey, I know you've played, let's say, Minecraft for hundreds of hours, that potentially you'd be able to move that into NFT worlds, which they've integrated, and move that skill across and sell potentially what you're doing. Like, that becomes interesting, and it's not too far off.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We just need to find that next game.
that's what we're looking for, right?
Which one? Hey. But those are the rubrics I'm looking for. Those are the raw materials. So at least it's like a start.
Yeah, and yeah, it is. And I think, you know, what's tough right now is there's a lot of building blocks that need to be built. And it's, you know, it is a lot of the frameworks, and it is investing in, you know, these projects that don't have much playable or have very limited gaming, which, you know, and that's what's impressing people right now. And you understand when, you know, why very limited gameplay can get so much attention, because when there's a lot of projects not delivering on anything and still doing quite well, you know, it really says something when you can actually put something out.
Yeah. Another sort of buyer beware when you're buying a token and the game has not launched at all. Not to throw FUD at anything, just that is.
And not to say we haven't been doing the same with Red Village.
Oh yeah, Red Village. They don't have a token technically, but we are buying those gates.
Oh, no, not a token, but they don't have a game yet.
Yeah, they don't have a game yet. Yet we bought into it. Yes. So that took all of what, 30 seconds to track back on recommendations. Perfect. I think that's a good note to end on.
As always.
Do as we say, not as we do. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, bye, George.
This has been an episode of the AAA NFT podcast, all about affordable NFTs. The episode notes and resources may be found at 3ANFT.com. In our show notes, again, 3ANFT.com. And that reminder, don't bet what you can't afford to lose. Remember, we are not financial advisors, and nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Thanks for joining us. Hope you learned something.